Good evening, and greetings in the precious name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus, right? That we talked about. Thank you, Brother Ken, for sharing those thoughts. As you think about the power, knowing the power of the resurrection, I trust as I look at people at you here this evening, I heard you singing, I want to be a Christian in your heart. And, you know, life is a battle. We constantly, I don't need to tell you that, but it's very, we face these challenges throughout our lives. And as we do that, we need to grasp even more, learn to know Jesus even more and more in our lives. And that's what God desires, right? That's what he wants for us and his people. So blessings to you. I trust you had a good afternoon as we continue this evening, see what God has for us. And for a message for this evening, I wasn't sure what to share this evening that wasn't assigned anything, so I guess I'm wide open and can do whatever I want. But I was thinking about that, and I'd like to think a little bit. You know, you think about memories. I'm sure we could all spend a lot of time talking about memories, right? You'd all have a lot of memories that you have of different things that happened. Looking back over your years, over your life, whatever, some are, I don't know if Willard's the oldest one here, but some of them all the way down to the youngest child here, right? Not too many memories yet, but pleasant memories. You know, maybe it's and you can think of different memories in your life. Maybe it's a birthday. Maybe not so much anymore now. We get older and we don't like to see birthdays maybe, but, you know, maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's your marriage, or maybe it's some trips that you took over the years. Maybe it was something you, for young people, as you started your life, maybe it was getting your driver's license. Maybe it was you know, maybe starting to date, or maybe your baptism, or your first job, maybe your first vehicle, your first, maybe boys, your first buck that you shot, or whatever it may be, girls, I don't know, whatever, made your first dress, whatever, I don't know, but, and you think about all those things, and you look back over your life, and all the things that happened, even since the first quarter of this year, things that took place, babies that were born, maybe, I don't know if you had any new babies here in this church, but tests, trials, blessings, and many words and choices that were chosen, that we made, right, in the last while. Things were done or not done. Big plans, little plans, whatever, purchases. Some things that maybe keep happening, big things, whatever that may be. And sometimes we get to maybe the end of a year, and we want to close the chapter on that book, and we want to start fresh, right? We you know what I'm talking about with that. Or maybe it's the end of a day. You know what? Tomorrow's another day. We start new into that. Or whatever. You have those different thoughts. Maybe it's whatever. You start into something new, and we say it's a clean slate. Opportunity sits before us. And what would God have to tell us as we go into these, as we start the next day? Is it? So you can turn with me to Romans 14. Before I give you the title, God doesn't tell us what's going to happen throughout the next year, right? He doesn't tell us what's going to happen tomorrow, the rest of this day. We don't know that. It is up to you and I to make those right choices in the moments, right? And I'm not telling you anything new this evening, right? You know that. But sometimes it's good for us to have reminders that as our lives continue, month by month, day by day, moment by moment, we say, well, life just happens. Well, it does. But it happens moment by moment by moment, right? And it moves on. And all the little mundane things of life, we eat, sleep, and work. It seems like we repeat again, eat, sleep, and work. And we just do it all. And we come to church in there. And it just, life just goes on. Family, school, church, social events, whatever, jobs. And quickly, one day passes into a week, into a month, into months, into years. And then soon it's 5, 10, 20 30, 40, 50, 70 years, right? Children grow. We get older. Parents change. Government changes. You know, all the changes that we think about in my short lifetime, you think of technology changes, and you think of society changes, and it happens moment by moment. It just kept happening. All these little happenings are very important of how it got to this place. So turn to Romans 14. And I'm going to start here, starting in verse 7. And we're just going to draw a few thoughts out of this. I want to use one verse 12, as our text verse here. But verse 7, starting in starting at Romans 14, verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, nor dieth to himself. We're familiar with these verses here, but we don't live to ourselves, we don't die to ourselves. We don't have control of that, right? God holds the key to that. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We can't forget that, right? God created us. He holds the germ, that song we sing, right? He holds the germ in his hand. He holds our life in his hand. He created us. Verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living, right? He's both. He's alive. Christ is Lord both of the dead and the living today. Why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I could keep reading there, but I'm going to stop there. We have this thought here that we are God's. God created us. He put us here in this season, this time, and he gives us life as he chooses. He gives us years, months, decades, right? He gives us a lifetime. Some of us, some could be 1 year, some could be 100 years. We don't know that, right? But he gives that, and he calls us to follow him throughout our lives. And to understand that, verse 10 there says, every knee shall bow before me and every tongue shall confess that I am God, to God. And verse 12 says, then let every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And as I was thinking about giving an account of ourselves to God, I don't know what you like, you think about that. Giving account of something, what we've done in the last, you know, we give account for a lot of different things, right? You know, there's a lot of things in life that we have to give an account for. We're held responsible for. Life, we're used to that. At least I hope we are. There's a lot of people out around there maybe that don't like to take responsibility, but I hope we are. Our number one thing that we cannot forget is that we have to give an account to Almighty God, the Creator, our Creator and Sustainer, who gave us Christ as the answer to life, as the power to life, to live above that, and he gives that to us. We will answer every word, every deed, every moment. And I thought of the parable of the talents Jesus gave. Each servant was given a certain amount, large to small, right? He was given all the different ones, from large to small. And for each of those people, there was a day of reckoning that came. Each of those men, there was a day of reckoning that came. A servant who had 10 talents couldn't just sit there. He did something. He used it to make it better. It didn't just happen overnight. He had to work. He had to make choices. He had to make effort to do that. Same for the one with 5. And the servant with 1 talent chose not to do anything, right? We know that we're familiar with this story. I think he had opportunity throughout his time, throughout the time frame. Maybe he had the same amount of time allotted as a person with 10 talents. I don't know that. But he chose to let it buried. He chose to put it to let it go. Each moment for each of those 3 men was very important. And we make choices every day. And sometimes we think it's just life, and that is the case, but I want us to think this evening about the moments. Each moment we are given to use is, each moment that we are given is to use, we are to use for God. The title is The Power of One Moment. The Power of One Moment. In a moment we think of, I don't know what you think of when you think about a moment. A moment that the dictionary says is a minute portion or point of time, maybe an instant, right? A moment, just quick thing. Comparatively brief period of time, I think it says. A moment, we say. Well, in a moment of time, it was this or that or whatever. And we use these, a lot of these different terms here, different times. Just a moment, please, right? You ever hear that? You're busy with something, someone says, just a moment, please, yeah. Oh, okay. At the moment, we seize the moment, right? We're dreading this moment, or at the last moment. Some people say, are there people that are the spur of the moment people, right? In the heat of the moment, at the present moment, a moment of truth, at any moment, right? We talk about that sometimes. At the perfect moment, such and such happened. A light bulb moment. You ever hear that? Some people just live for the moment. For some, there's never a dull moment, right? Moment by moment, God gives us, gives us these moments. Please give me a moment, we say sometimes. God does just that. He gives us many moments, right, throughout our life. All these. Someday, if we are asking God, just give me a moment, in the wrong way, that eventually is going to come to an end. Those moments are done. And so it's very important that we think about, we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, and God's going to say, how did you answer these talents, these moments that I gave to you? What did you do with them? And it's so easy for us, maybe these man with the talents, I don't know, it's so easy for us to think, well, he just went about just normal life and he eventually it might multiply sometime. No, some of them consciously, these two men, they consciously, moment by moment, they multiplied those talents and they used them to the betterment. God, when they came to give an account for it, they were not ashamed, right? God said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It just takes a moment is all it takes, and the power of it, the power of one moment. You know, a wrong choice of one moment puts people in prison for life. Just one moment. Murder, stealing, drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be. Those few moments I thought of, you know, is it, what's his name? Is it Tom Crooks that he tried to shoot, assassinate the president here some time ago? That one moment that he made that choice cost him his life very quickly, right? Alive and another, he's in eternity. A few moments of immorality has ruined many a marriage, a family, a relationship, a life. A response in great anger and hurtful words in a moment has led to a lifetime of bitterness between parents and children, between relationships, between a lot of things, right? One moment that was done wrong. Unforgiveness, separation, hurts, relationships, they're shattered. A few moments to dwell on hurts each day leads to a life of bitterness. People don't just become bitter overnight, necessarily. You know, it's often those little moments of they keep bringing that back up and bringing that back up, and they build on that and build on that. Eventually, it becomes a life of bitterness. A wrong word in a moment destroyed many relationships, even families, churches, marriages. But, you know, the opposite is true as well. I don't like to think about the negative all the time either. Moments change people's lives for the good, right? We call those defining moments, maybe. That was a defining moment in my life. When such and such happened, that was a defining moment. Maybe it was our conversion. Maybe it was our baptism or a marriage or whatever that may be. Maybe an event or circumstance, an accident, or a death of someone that we really looked up to or were close to. Maybe it was a close call that we had. And, you know, I just missed. And, you know, God, we can see God's hand there. And that was a defining moment that, you know what, life is short. We think about that. Maybe it was a challenge that we faced. A word of encouragement was given at the right time. Direction. Maybe a word of advice from someone. I remember back when I was young and had young children sitting on my lap, and I remember an older brother sort of encouraging me, and I remember that. That sticks in me. That was just a few words he said that sticks in my mind. That was a moment in my life that made a difference. Maybe it's a moment of affirmation to someone, whatever it may be. Moments, right? The power of one moment, as you think about that. They are left an impact. A smile, a word, a deed. Many times it's just it's the many little moments, the powerful moments over and over, teaching, deeds, parents, family, relationship. A person choosing to forgive someone who has wronged them, leading to a restored relationship. That took a moment of time to do that. Maybe it takes a lifetime to grow into that, but it takes a moment of choice. You know, it takes some choice to do that. Maybe someone decided to act courageously in the face of adversity, and inspired many others, and that's a moment of defining moment. Could be a small act of kindness that has a ripple effect, possibly impacting many lives. The power of one moment. Every single seemingly insignificant moment, we think, can have a profound impact on one's life, either to us personally or how we relate to someone else, thus shaping the future course of them and ourselves as well. Also, the thought of making the right choices during these critical moments is very crucial for positive outcomes, right? For our life or the many those around us. One moment can lead to significant change, positive or negative. We need to remember that. The power, again, the power of one moment. The Bible talks about moments. Moment, maybe you think of as the blink of an eye or the snap of a finger, whatever it may be. And I'm just going to go through quickly some verses. I'll just read them here. God used moment different throughout scriptures, different times, God's judgment. In Exodus 33, verse 5, for the Lord said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye stiff-necked people, I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment, he says, and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. You know, God's judgment in a moment. At the end of time, it's going to happen. But back then, God, he talks about it there. Numbers 16, verse 21, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. A couple times he says that in Numbers. I will consume them in a moment. Lamentations 4, verse 6, for the punishment of the wicked of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom that was overthrown in a moment. I don't think we don't quite, you know, how things happen very quickly. But the punishment of Sodom, they were warned that something's going to happen, but, you know, that fire fell in a moment. No time to get right then, right? That's what happened. And Job, turn with me to Job 7. We'll look at this one. Job 7, Job seemed to understand moments. He talks about it here. Talks about God, and the shortness of life, and how God cares about moments. Job 7, verses 17 and 18. This is Job talking back and forth, communing with God, talking back and forth with God. In verse 17, what is man that thou shouldst magnify him, and that thou shouldst set thine heart upon him? He's saying to God, what is man that you even care about us, right? High, mighty God, but you care about us. Shouldest magnify him, that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment. Try him or test him or pay attention to him or care about him every moment. Excuse me. That's God. God cares about us as people. Job 20, verse 5 says that the triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Small. It's talking about sin. The shortness of life. Job 21, verse 13. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave, right? Life, it looks like so glorious and glamorous sometimes. You see some people and you know what? In a moment, it's done. It's over, right? Very quickly. Job 34, verse 20. In a moment they shall die, and the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall take away without hand. Various times it talks about God in his trial, giving us trials and maybe the chastening of the Lord. Psalm 73, verse 19, how are they brought in desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. Proverbs 12, verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. One of the other verses here was in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, right? We talked about that, is but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. All these little aspects of life that God has all together in our lives, the little moments, he has a plan for those. And he wants us to use them to his honor and glory. One of them, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, I think we read this morning, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, right? At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. You know, our life is but a moment in the scope of eternity. And if you have a whiteboard here or something, you know, you're just a big whiteboard and you put one dot in the middle. We are not even that dot in the span of eternity. And it's just, we take it so lightly, our life sometimes. Or, well, I guess sometimes we'd make it a big deal too. We think that we're some big person, when really we're just a dot in the expanse of eternity. But also sometimes we can take it a little lightly that, you know, we got a whole year to, a whole life to live, when really we don't. It's a small, that one dot, whatever happens into that dot determines our destiny. And very, very important that we think about that. Turn to Luke 4. I want to just look at this passage here in Luke 4. It talks about another moment. And try to look at this a little bit, see if we can understand we have Jesus beginning, or he didn't begin his ministry yet, but we call this his temptation, where he was tempted in the wilderness. He went out into the wilderness, and I don't understand all of it exactly of how that's all works, or how it all worked, or what all the reasoning for all of that exactly, except that we know that Jesus was tempted in all matters as like as we are. But I want us to think about Jesus, the Son of God, how he victoriously won the battle in one moment, the power of that moment. You know, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and nights, physically and emotionally. He was low, right? He was probably at the lowest point mankind could almost be. And the devil comes and tempts him here. In verse 5, it says, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed, and I jumped ahead here a little bit. 1-4, we have the first, talking about stone, turning a stone into bread. But verse 5 here, and the devil, taking him up in a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Showing him the moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. The devil says, you know, I can give you this to you because it's given to me. And the kingdoms of this world are of the devil, right? So he has control of those, whatever God allows him to do. So there's a part of that that's true, that he could give part of it to Jesus if he was allowed to. But, you know, not everything that is fun, is beautiful, is cool, feels good, is the in thing, easy street maybe we call it sometimes, whatever form, is from the Lord, right? It's from the devil. Many times that's what it is. The devil has the power to give his kingdom, or this, the fun of the moments, to the sin and pleasure of the moments, he can give that to us. And that's a serious thought as you think about that. Don't play with the devil, right? That's a very important thing as you think about that. Verse 7, if thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto them, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Again, thinking of the phrase, in a moment of time. Satan offered everything he had to Jesus in this temptation. In one swift moment, Satan offers everything he has to offer. He did that to Jesus. He said, you know, I can give you, look at this, Jesus, I can give you this. I can give you this whole kingdom. I can give you everything. And many times he does that to you and I today, right? In the moment of time, we think, you know, I need this. I need this now. Or I must do this, or I need to tell this person that, or I need to do whatever, and whatever sin you maybe are tempted to do in that moment of time. And we forget the whole expanse of the rest of life, right? Very quickly we can do that. Jesus, he understood that though. He looked at that and he says, you know what? Devil, you can only give what you're allowed to give me. And you really can't give me anything. He looked out ahead and why his purpose actually was here to come to this earth. Why he was coming to this earth. He was coming to give his life for mankind. If he would have messed up at this moment, all would be changed. You and I wouldn't be sitting here today probably. But one swift moment, Satan offers everything he has to offer. He does that. It doesn't take a year, a month, or day to dangle the carrot of temptation in front of us. He does it in a moment. If you would just have this now, this would just satisfy whatever you want. However that works out in your life. But whatever the flesh was, and he works to that. 4,000 years before, in the garden, he came to Eve with the same old thing. In the moment, Eve was convinced that she would have it all, right? He came right then. He's like, you know what? You won't die. You're not going to die. You're going to be as gods. You're going to be able to know good and evil. Well, that was partially true, but she didn't reckon with the fact that what God had told her before, right? And so the lust of the flesh, and the devil comes and he does that through, he uses the senses, the lust of the flesh. What tastes good? What looks good? What, the pride of life, what appeals to our inner carnal desires, makes us feel good, puts us up a notch. And you know what? He still does that today in the moments that we face each throughout our lives. He still has this same bag of tricks that he comes around with. He still is in that moment of time that he brings those out and says, hey, I have these. You know, God, we look at God, or we understand God. God is so much better. For Adam and Eve, the garden, they were placed in the garden. They had pleasure. They had tranquility. They had open relationship. They had unity, no sin, no guilt, no sickness, no hurt, sorrows, trust. They could trust. There was no tears. God placed them in this situation. But we know the story, right? They failed in that moment. They failed and they lost it all. But you know what? Today, God still offers us salvation. He offers us healing. He provides for us. He's a burden bearer for us. He's a comforter. We can have a relationship with him. Whatever we need to get through and be victorious, he has for us. He provides for us. He's there. He's our all in all. He never slumbers. He never sleeps, right? He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's full of grace and truth. Our light, our guide, our peace, our security. And we have from him, we have the beauty of love and forgiveness and unity and submission. It's all seen because of him. But Satan comes and we have all that, right? But Satan comes in a moment of time and he wants to take that away. We're no different than the Garden of Eden, really. We're tested in the same areas, some to a certain extent. Jesus says, you know, I can help you avoid. Satan came and offered to Jesus when he was in the garden there that day as well. He was there at the lowest of lowest. He says, just come and fall down and worship me just this once, this moment. He did it there in his temptation there in the wilderness, but also in the garden. I believe he was under extreme pressure in that moment of time. He says, I can help you avoid this plan, this pain, this sorrow, this dying, this the cross, the sacrifice. I can help you conquer the world, Jesus. But Jesus looked beyond that, right? And he saw it was way more important than that moment of time. Satan always offers more for less commitment, more for less sacrifice, more for less consecration. You can get it, you can have it, you can have it now in a moment of time. That's what he says. But we realize that's not true. Think about a little bit about this moment. Everything that happened in the last 4,000 years before, leading up to this moment, as Jesus was in the wilderness there, Satan offered it all in a moment. But Jesus looked beyond the present and he saw his Father. He saw the future, the past. He understood his mission and why he came to earth. He understood it was his moment of choice. He understood that. He saw you and I down thousands of years later. He saw you and I. He said, no, I'm willing to come. I want to lay this down. This is my moment. The power of that one moment. As you think about that, you know, if Jesus would have said, no, life would be so much different today, right? If he would have just given up in that moment. And we say, well, that was for all humanity. That is true. But how many times in our little moments that we make choices is for our eternity, right? But how many other people is it affecting us, affecting after us, that we are affecting by that too, in all the little moments that we make? It's the same for us today. In the stress of life, we face moments of decision, powerful moments that dictate our future, determine our destiny, determine our the years, our life. They determine who, what it makes us, determines us. It's a huge bearing on the destiny of others as well, our children, our coworkers, or those who follow us. These moments of choice, just the power of one moment. We say, give me a moment. And God is doing that every day. Someday, those moments will be done. And that's what I think we need to think about. I want to be consciously mindful of, am I living out the moments the way he wants to be? The Bible is full of examples. The power of one moment changed life, destinies, and reputations, both to the good and the bad. And the picture could be so much different. We could just take a quick story. I'm just going to quickly go through different different people in the Bible. Noah, you know, he made the choice to build that ark. He made the choice, but I think it was, you know, in that moment, he probably got discouraged. I believe in that moment, he probably faced those, why am I doing this? And his boys knew that dad believed what he was doing, though. And in that moment, he chose to, he wasn't just working on a dumb boat, right? It was something that God told him to do. And he understood that, and it left an impact on his family after him. Abraham, the moment that he decided to leave when God spoke to him and called him out, God called him, and he chose in that moment to leave his family and his country and his home and luxury. Why? God says because he knew that he would order his children after him. Many moments of teaching that Abraham would do. That day on Mount Moriah, the power of one moment. If he would have backed out and failed the test, all would be different today, right? What if in the moment of confusion he would have just chosen to continue trusting God instead of taking Hagar to his wife? There's an impact to that all the way today, right? Because of what happened in that moment. The bloodshed and the war that's still happening today. Lot, the power of one moment. When he decided to move into Sodom, he kept making a step closer and closer and closer. Eventually, in a moment, a powerful moment when the fire of the Lord fell, he barely got out himself and lost most of his family. Rebecca, the power of the moment when God called her out of her home through Abraham's servant, she said, I will go. And left home to be a wife to a man she didn't know. She didn't know at all. But she understood, she's the son of a nomad. The story would be a lot different if she would have said, no, I'm not going to go. Jacob and Esau, the day when Jacob snatched the coveted birthright from a famished brother. Esau, who looked back later and he said with tears he wished he would have did something different. That moment, that defining moment in their lives changed the destiny of both of those. Joseph, young 17, 18-year-old boy, I don't know, we know exactly how old he was, being sought after by a seducing woman. What's he going to do? You know, he was human, the same as us. And in that defining moment, he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He chose the power of the moment. He knew. So no one would ever know down there in Egypt. What did it matter? But no, he understood that. He had a relationship with God, and he knew that. Life, the story would be so much different if he would have failed, right? I don't know how that would have went. Think about Moses' parents, the power of the moment. The many moments when they tried to keep him hidden. The fear, the tension, and how different the story would read if they had not made the choice to keep that to protect him in that moment. Moses, you know, as he chose to leave the Egyptians, the power of one moment, many moments in Egypt and Midian, how the story could be different if he would have said, you know what, no, I just want to stay here in Egypt. This is my people now. This is all the fun, all the glory that I can have. But no, he said he chose rather to suffer with the children of Israel, right? Suffer instead of enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season or a moment, I'm going to call it, right? The story could be different. Joshua and Caleb, the power of one moment. It took courage to stand against the 10 other spies. I don't know what that would have been like. I don't often get tested like that. But they said, yes, we can do it. There are giants there, but God is bigger. We understand that. And the power of that moment, they chose to stand out against that. And you know what? If they would have went along with the other 10, there'd be no Joshua and Caleb to go into Canaan. They would have stayed there. They would have died there. I don't know how the story would have ended, right? In the power of that moment, that one moment. Achan, you know, he was normal, just like you and I. Anxious to be in new land and set up shop and all that goes along with that. And, you know, any of these little things just a little too much. And I believe he coveted those things, and he wanted those things, and so he hid them and burying them. In that moment of choice, he lost himself and his family, right? Power of moment, of one moment. Ruth, her choice to go with Naomi. Naomi, thy God shall be my God, your people my people. And she left her home and her upbringing, security to go to a foreign land. The power of one moment. Her and Orpah's story was changed, right? Totally, totally different. The power of her choice that day to say that. Her willingness to go to Boaz. Her faith in the God of Israel each moment. She became the grandmother of kings and of Jesus himself. The power of one moment. We read nothing of her sister-in-law. We don't know how her story ended up. Samson, you know, he was blessed. He was a Nazarite. A special, strong, amazing, smart. But the power of choice in a few small moments took his strength. His dignity, his freedom. Everything. Oh, how he must have thought about that moment as he was down there in the jailhouse grinding corn, right? As he thought about that one, those couple of moments that he made, those choices that he made. But the story doesn't end there, right? In the power of a moment, he prayed to God and said, Lord God, I need your power today. And God gave it to him. And he's listed in the Hall of Fame there today. Eli. The power of various moments. When he didn't restrain his sons, he left them go. I don't understand what all happened then. What did he do? What didn't he do? I don't know that. That'd be interesting to know. But at that point, throughout that time frame, the glory of the Lord left the Israel for a spell. Eli died. His sons died. Did he regret not using the moments that God gave him and granted him in raising his sons? The story probably could be a lot different. Saul, David and Goliath, you know, Job. Daniel and his three friends chose to obey God, the power of the moment, the story that unfolds, the three Hebrews, and David even, as you think about that. You know, the power of the moment. When he walked into camp that day, and the Philistine Goliath was over on the hillside, and he was bellowing out and defying his God, the power of that moment, David said, this man's defying my God, our God, Israel's God. He needs to be taken care of. And the power and the choice that he made and the many blessings that followed him. But you know what? At another moment of time in his life, that's one of the things I like about David, is that he was just so human. But in another defining moment of his life, he made a wrong choice as well. But one of the important part was that he came back to God and said, you know what? I need to accept your forgiveness in my life. And I accept what I did. My sin is ever before me, he said. And he accepted that. And he made some changes. But you know what? The power of that moment, the choice that he made that day, left some scars down through his family. And so we have to reckon with that as well. Peter, his denial, the power of three moments when he said no. He denied, he cursed. He said, I don't know my beloved master. But he turned around and he found forgiveness in the defining moment. The story continues into the early church of his sermon, his boldness, his pillar for the early church. He was a pillar for the early church. The story could be different in how he used his moment. When he failed, he confessed the brokenness and was forgiven. Judas, on the other hand, in that moment, when he realized the moment, the choice that he made, but then when he realized the moment, instead of making it right, says he went in bitterness, or he went out and hung himself. I'd like to just close here with a couple facts using the term, a couple points using the word moment, M-O-M-E-N-T-S. I'm going to use each of those, and I'm going to just go quickly through these here. As we think about the power of one moment, we are each given these moments. Number one, or letter M, make God first in our lives. And that sounds so basic, right? But it's so important, right, in our life. Make it a goal in for this year to put God first in your life, for not just this year, throughout your life. Seek him first. Enjoy a meaningful devotional relationship and prayer life. It's in these moments that we can deal with life's moments. As we learn to have a relationship with God, as we have a relationship with him, then we'll be faithful in the moments, at least a lot better. Seek to honor him. Search his word. It is relevant for the moment of time that we live in. Make him our leader and master, our first go-to. We are a steward of what he gives, and we understand that, and someday we'll need to give an account of each moment that we are given. The moment we choose to withhold, the moment we choose to maybe skip our personal devotions, or maybe family worship, or a church service, or whatever it is. Those things are all part of leaving an impact down through on our lives and down through our generation following. Make God first in your life. Letter O, obedience at all cost. And I can't stress this enough. We live in a world of situational ethics. If Christianity doesn't quite fit in this moment, yeah, well, we'll just slide a little bit and go and make it work next time. If I need to give someone a piece of my mind, I just need to do that now. But that's what needs to be done. Or, you know, if someone, yeah, I can't forgive that person. This doesn't, I just got to do this. He just did too much. But you know what? In April of 2025, the Bible is still the same. A lie is still a lie. Sin is still sin. Gray things are still not pure things, right? Lust is still wrong. Pride, bitterness, wrong words, bad attitudes, selfishness, stealing. What is God's for personal pleasure? Money, talents, time, whatever that is. Integrity, trustworthiness is still intended to be what God wants it to be. Loyalty, unity, living out the Great Commission in everyday moments. Obedience to God and his word, the prompting of his spirit. Allow him to lead your life. Obey at all cost. And if we have that riveted in our mind, when we hit these different moments of life, the moments of tests and temptations and trials, whatever that may be, we can come through victorious. If you notice that some of these other ones, like Joseph and Daniel and some of those, they were obedience at our cost. And that's what carried them right through that. Letter M for moments. The second M, moments make years. We remember moments, not years, right? As we're growing up, we remember, I don't remember such and such a year, it was this and this that happened. No, I remember moments when Dad did this, or when Mom did this, or when someone did this, or whatever it may be, the different moments of time. That's what we remember. We are writing the story of life. It is now 2025. Today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart, God says. Today is the day of salvation. The first quarter of 2025 already is completed. Those moments are gone. As you think about that, husbands and moments make years. So husbands and wives, each moment is passing. God performed a miracle in creating a marriage and making you one flesh. Do the best in it. Be loving, submissive, trustworthy, peaceful, even in the chaos of family life. Enjoy the moments together. They pass quickly, and it's the moments that make memories. Remember that. As a dad, maybe it's your younger son. It's your young son. You really only have a few moments to teach him how to be a man of purity, obedience. And very quickly that time is gone, and they're grown. Respect and integrity, conviction, to be a Christian warrior, and how to use this Christian armor. Use these moments. Think about them. Moments make years. And so it's all the little bitty things. The Bible talks about in Deuteronomy, right? Do it when you're sitting down, do it when you're rising up, right? Write on your doorpost, right? Do it everything. All aspects of life and the moments of life, you are teaching something. Make these moments, they're going to turn into years. Make it important. Moms, many moments to teach and to show love and respect for dad, meek and quiet spirit, humility, forgiveness, honesty, purity, and submissiveness to your girls. Beauty is way more than skin deep. Contentment, thankfulness, many different things. More is caught and taught than taught in the moment, right? More is caught than taught in the moment. Children, moment by moment you learn things. Many times rules don't even make sense. They maybe seem ridiculous. At least sometimes my children think that. But each moment make us grow. And we eventually, as you grow older and you understand these things, it's like, oh, yes, that makes sense now. And you start to understand that. There are a lot of leaders, teachers, coworkers, aunts, uncles, neighbors, brothers and sisters in the body. Each moments make years. Letter E, enjoy the moments of today. You know, we hear people, they're wishing for tomorrow, or they're if only for the past, and they look back to the past, and we're here now. We might as well accept that, right? We're here in this moment. We maybe made some mistakes previous times, but you know what? We have this moment today, right? We have this choice. We can do this today to make this, enjoy the simple things of life. Smell the roses. See the beauty. Notice the blessing God gives us. Thank God for them. Don't worry about the future. Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient as the day is the evil thereof. And I think too often, I do anyway, I'm worrying and my mind is occupied about what I'm going to do tomorrow. How am I going to figure out this thing tomorrow? Today. My family's growing up around me, right? Relationships are happening around me. People are heading to hell around me, right? And here I am all wrapped up in things for tomorrow. This is the day, the moment that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118 says that. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for our light affliction is but for a moment. Think about that. Worketh for a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, a way bigger picture. And this song, I saw you have it in your booklet there, but the song, we have this moment to hold in your hand and to hold in our hands. I had it here somewhere, I wrote it here. We have this moment to hold in our hands, to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. I thought of it too late, but I had to bring a box of sand. And just, you know, pick up sand and just let it run through your hands. And it just trickles down. And so actually, just this week, just thought of this now, but this week, we have saw a lot of bag goods, with bags of sand. You know, all it takes is a little hole in that sand, bag of sand, and it just keeps, eventually that sand is totally going out of that bag, if it's just right. Just one little hole, and it just keeps, you have this little pile down beside the skid all, eventually, oh, come on, what happened? The whole bag's gone down on the floor. But you know, that's still like life. We have this moment, we let that sand go through. Sometimes it's perfect, nice sand. Sometimes there might be some dirt in it. There might be some bigger chunks. There might be some pieces of wood. If you take it out on the beach or something, you pick something up, pick a scoop of sand up, and you let it trickle through your hands, and it might not always be clean sand. There might be some bumps and some stones and things in it. That's life. That's the way it will happen. But enjoy the moments. Through your fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today, right? We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. gentle words, a gentle touch, and a good cup of coffee, and someone who loves me and wants me to stay. Hold them near while they're here. Don't wait for tomorrow to look back and wish for today. Enjoy the moments for today. Hold the sand, or hold it as it, watch as it goes through and enjoy those moments. Letter N, we need to understand it's not a chance moment that we're here, right? We are Esthers of our current day. God has placed us here for a reason. For such a time as this, God wanted you, wherever you are, to be here in this church, in this community, and wherever, in that, your family, whatever it may be. We are here by divine appointment at this time, this location, this in circumstances. God has set our days. He has placed us where he wants us, in Wellsboro, PA, or wherever you find yourself here. He knows he has our birth date. He knows our end date. He knows how long that dash is in between there, right? He knows that. We do not. The preciousness of life, so quickly it's gone. Take action on life. Don't passively let it pass by. Choose actively to live with purpose in the present moment we find ourselves. Remember, this could be our last moment. Someday God will give us just one more moment, and then it's done. And we need to think about that. And that leads me into the letter T there. Treat each day as our last. Moses, I think it was Moses that wrote in Psalm 90, verse 12, says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. You know, we don't know how long we have, neither how long for our parents or our grandparents or our friends or children and siblings. So quickly, one day they're with us and they're gone. Spouse, whatever it may be. It happens. Treat each day, each moment as your last day. Don't ever let a word. Yeah, each word that's spoken, each smile that's given, each purchase that we make, each action, each decision, each thought, the impact we are leaving, how we respond in the one moments are critical moments that significantly influence our future and our destiny. Someday we will stand before Almighty God, the great right throne judgment, and we're going to have to give an account for how we've done that. You know, those people around us, that sinful customer, that neighbor, that struggling brother or sister, am I using the moments that God calls me to? Treat each day as the last. Our last day, or their last day for that matter, but very important for ourselves. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. Help me to, and that verse isn't saying that help me to understand, help me to know exactly when my day is going to end, but help me to understand that life is short. It's going to come to an end someday. And I better make sure that I'm making everything count the whole way through. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Letter S, the last one that I have there, is very simply, soon will be the big moment. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Our life of testing will be over. And where will we find ourselves? I guess that's the question. Are we going to be watching for Jesus? Is he coming in the clouds? Is that consistent? Is that part of our moments that we're doing? Are we watching for Jesus, never mindful of what's going to happen? Or are we involved in the devil's moments, in the flesh, and what all we want, our own self and pride, and what, how we look and all that? What about our moment? Thinking about the moments, one moment, the power of one moment. So I hope this evening, as you think about your life, the moments that we have, I look out at an audience like this, and many of you have probably lots of moments yet. We don't know that, though. You know, that's very important. And this isn't to be a negative message. It's just, it's important. It's a positive message because we have a choice yet from this day forward to make choices and make those things right and make those things, make things happen and be a positive impact for the rest of our lives. And I trust that you are here, and God bless you as you serve him here at Pine Creek. It's been a blessing to be here, and I wish you God's blessing as you live through your lives in this community. Make the most of it. Be what God wants you to be. And remember that someday the trumpet's going to sound. We are either going to stay here and with regret wish we would have went along, or we will be along and be blessed and be with and see that Savior face to face. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the wonder. Shall we kneel for prayer?